Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well this morning. And how about you?
I'm doing wonderful on this fabulous moon day. And I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the first new moon this year and how it is a great time for a new beginning. The best way to predict your future is to create your future by asking for what you want. We are shaping our reality. We will discuss the transits on January 9th, 2016, lunation, to give some insight into the biosphere of energy available at that moment and showing listeners how to attune to it and keep their lives on course. So listen while Swami explains the role of the individual in the process of becoming whole or healed with the life force. So join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul, to help give your thoughts the power of intention. So Swami, I guess we should start our program and actually talking about the transits and what's going on in our celestial world at this time.
Yeah, we're talking about the new moon that happened on Saturday. And during that lunation, we had Pluto, the moon, the sun, and Mercury were all in Capricorn. And in Hampton, that stellium fell in the fifth house, which is our house of self-expression. It's our house, actually a house of play and fun and recreation. And Capricorn is a kind of a 10th house image. Capricorn is represented by structure and form and procedures, and it also represents the principle-centered reality that originated by humans in the adult state, values that are in accordance with universal order, which is, I think, a really important thing to try and really start to understand today, that there is a difference between the human in the larvae state and a human in the adult state.
So you say that Capricorn is that house of recreation and fun. I was wondering about how we can utilize those, that type of energy or that house, to help us in the healing process.
Well, actually, Capricorn isn't the house of fun. The fifth house is the house of fun and recreation. Capricorn is the principle of structure and form. But I think the whole key really is to find the joy in obligations and responsibilities. And that this is a learned skill, that if you aren't doing it, you can learn to do it. You can learn to change how you think and how you feel about responsibilities and obligations. Because finding the joy in, you know, our everyday activities and is something that's really important, because a lot of us see activities only as obligations, and we're kind of faded by this kind of misinterpretation of it. But if you can find the joy in working in harmony with your dharma, your duty, your obligations, your responsibilities, it's a really important skill to develop.
That's very interesting. I had a conversation with a gal that I work with the other day, and she actually said those words to me. She said, you know, I need structure, you know, in my work environment, I have to have structure. I can't have everything just be willy-nilly. And of course, I'm sure that applies to her home life as well. But I think it's very interesting that, you know, I'll have to go back and ask her maybe if she, you know, what her birth chart might be and so on and so forth. But isn't it interesting that some people just have to have that, I need to have everything in the same place twice type of thing, and it's through structure where they find their joy, whatever it is that they are doing.
Yeah, everything in the world has procedure, and I think the more that we understand structure and form and the importance of structure and form and procedure, then I think the easier it is for us to deal with a lot of what people experience as life's limitations. Because that's one of the underlying dynamics of Capricorn, which is Saturn, basically. And it's the whole principle of manifestation. And one of the things of learning to deal with the limitations of Saturn is to understand the limitations of reality, period. And to understand that clearly, you just have to understand that nothing manifests whole, which is an important thing. That in order for something to manifest, in order for something to be verifiable through our senses, it has to split from the unified state, manifest in half, and then leave behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. That's really important. And once you understand that nothing manifests whole, then when you work with things that are tangible and visible, you understand that they are immediately limited. And in fact, that's one of the things that we always talk about that becomes really confusing is when people try to complete themselves in the physical world, in the manifested world. Because, say for example, mathematically, if you were to mark two points and you said the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, but you could only go one half the distance with each move, you would become rapidly close, infinitely close, but then frustrated as all get out because you're never going to reach point B. And that's the confinement and limitation of Saturn, is that everything is in half. And in order for us to actualize this experience of wholeness, the human had to learn to transform, which meant separate from our attachment to duality and connect to this concept of truth and wholeness, that it was actually physics and not just magic.
So I wonder if that's the case. So you said everything has a procedure and should have intention. So if I wanted to take advantage of what's going on right now, would it be safe to assume that I want to be able to use the processes that we learn from Kriya Yoga, because there is a process that we have that we work with and that we study with and we strive to do it every day. So I want to be able to apply all that to everything that I do, you know, with yoga. I want to use my yamas and my niyamas. I want to be able to use those processes, but I want to be able to maybe apply maybe more joy to it. Maybe some of us might be so fixated on what we need to do, what we should do, that we forget to find the joy in what it is that we're supposed to be doing.
Right, and again, that's part of it. I mean, if you just become dutiful and it's all about obligations, and then you have your concept of authority is that it's somewhere that you get your reward. as opposed to finding the joy in the actual doing, is a very different dynamic. Because when you are looking for, you have expectations that I'm going to do this, but I'm expecting something in return, then you're susceptible to disappointment. But a big part of, like you say, when you employ Kriya Yoga the way we teach it, the first thing that we teach is skillful use of thought. And being able to use your mind in a way that you can always turn to your creativity and your imagination and create that joy, create that environment that is playful and fun. And one of the things I always think about is that short story by James Thurber, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And when I was in high school when we first read that, and I was like, wow, look at this. He's coloring what he's doing with his imagination. And, of course, being a very imaginative person, that worked for me for the rest of my life. And constantly using my mind to make something that might just be routine or an obligation, I could actually put a different spin on it by using creativity.
I really like that, because I think it's important that we develop that skill for imagination. And I always try to use visualization as that tool for me. You know, if I have a whatever, because this show is on healing, so if I have a shoulder injury, you know, I want to use my imagination. I want to visualize my shoulder performing tasks without pain, for example. So I want to use my imagination. I want to be able to see that in my mind, because I've always felt that healing comes from the inside out. You have to start with your mind first, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then get your mind involved. We have to heal our thoughts, like you say. You know, thoughts are an important part of our intentions. So by healing our thoughts, then we can go forth and then actually heal the physical, heal the body.
Oh, absolutely. You have to change those thought patterns. And it's constant surveillance. We're constantly looking at the body, because that's one of the things that you notice is life is change. And when things change, we have to make the adjustments. That's the one thing that I think is really important with a Kriya Yoga practice, that you recognize that you're not trying to hit a still target, that things are in motion and constant motion, and so you're constantly trying to track that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the astrology can be somewhat helpful, as well as, say, for example, if you keep a journal and you're using your dreams to give you some insight. Because just like you said, things happen mentally before they happen physically. And dreams give us insight into things that we may have to deal with. You can prepare yourself for that. And sometimes even you can intercept it before something manifests by changing thoughts and emitting new imagery.
I think it's very interesting that I looked up in the dictionary for the word heal, and it says to make healthy, whole, or sound, restore to health, and free from ailment. Isn't that what you always say, to healing, to become whole? So I thought that was really very interesting that you're like one step ahead, and to be able to have that kind of confirmation. And then free from ailment, well, we need to be free from our thoughts that are creating these ailments. So like you say, we definitely have to start with the mind.
But also we must be liberated from duality, which is a really important thing, that we can't become whole if we're embroiled in the visible and tangible aspects of reality. That this whole thing of transforming means requires us to separate from the physical and connect to this source of sustenance that is the unified state.
All right, great. Well, we're going to hold that thought and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back in a few moments. And if you have any questions for Swami, I think I'll open up the phone lines and you can ask your questions when we return. So we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the Cosmic Ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Purna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, what I would like to do is we'll open up the phone lines, and if you have any questions for Swami, you can go ahead and ask that right now.
Good morning. I have a question for the Swami. If in this first new moon of this year and where everything is lining up and part of this is about really trying to find the joy in obligations or in duty or dharma, is it really about kind of accepting the fact that we all have a dharma and accepting it without expectations?
Well, I think to answer your question, I think for a lot of us, it's even just to know that we have a dharma. And, you know, a responsibility that the universe gives us life, but it does expect us to give back. And we have been socialized so much, I think, with the victim mentality and this kind of attitude of entitlement that we don't realize that we do have responsibilities, we do have obligations. And I don't know how other than by changing our education system to let us know that, you know, these points of passage and rites of passage were something that had very specific meaning and purpose with regard to development that's missing today.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help or answer your question? Or?
Yes, I was just trying to think of how to you know, maximize this point in time. And I think for me, I feel like I understand I have a duty.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's resistance in accepting that. So for me, when I wrote down this, I wrote down a question, and the question was, you know, is the acceptance of your duty kind of part of just part of becoming an adult, in the sense that this is, you know, there are duties, there are things that, you know, really you need to give back, but not have a negative connotation, not have, you know, this feeling of, you know, expecting dread to do something. It's more of like you had mentioned earlier, how do you bring the joy into something?
Right.
And so I guess for me, maybe the acceptance part of it is the first step in how you bring the joy into it.
And then it's not just acceptance, but there is a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, the procedure. How do we move forward with this dharma or this duty? And one of the first things that we have to try and figure out is, who am I? And mm-hmm. what is my unique talent? Like, what is the one thing that I do better than anybody else? And a lot of that requires being introspective, analytical, observant, reflective, and just trying to see. And for a lot of us, you might want to look for the thing that you do that's the most fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, integrate that into your dharma, your duty, your responsibility. And then I think kind of solves the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help? Or?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Swami, I was reading in one of my reference materials, the 365 Tao, and coincidentally enough, today's word is healing. And it says, no matter how extreme a situation is, it will change. It cannot continue forever. Thus, a great forest fire is always destined to burn itself out, and a turbulent sea will always become calmer. So it says natural events balance themselves out by seeking their opposites, and this process of balance is at the heart of all healing. So I think that's really interesting, because we can take that from, you know, they're talking about, he's talking about natural changes, but the changes that happen in our bodies, we can apply that same concept. And then later on in the passages, you know, he talks about, you know, the wise are patient, and all life is continual destruction and healing over and over again. But isn't that true? Because we can apply that to our minds as well as our bodies.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, when you really figure out like what's going on a physical level, we're destroying billions of cells every day as we're creating billions mm-hmm. of cells every day. It's this ongoing process. Or this ongoing procedure of breaking down and building up, and managing that so that you're building up just as much as you're breaking down kind of neutralizes it, and in a lot of respects enables us to sustain life for an extended period of time. It's when the breaking down becomes more dominant or predominant over the building up. And so putting your efforts in being able to manage that. And at the same time, on this even deeper level, is this whole thing of apotheosis, this growth process that collectively, socially, we're just completely removed from. Because it does give you a little bit more depth to your approach than just looking at yourself physically and mentally. And it does give you a resource of energy that's more reliable to work with.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. The very last line that says, from the page I'm reading, it says, whether the situation is illness, calamity, or their own anger, they know that healing will follow upheaval. And I just think that's interesting. And then it got me to thinking about, I had a Chinese medicine teacher once tell me that you have to use the seasons of the year for what they're really meant to be. And I know we've talked about this before on our radio show, that wintertime is a time to be introspective and to be, you know, look within yourself. And then this person also said, you know, rainy days are made for you to go within. You know, you're inside your home, you know, it's that time to be introspective. So to use the time that we have wisely, and you ready your mind and your body for springtime and summertime when you can, you know, be more outward again.
Yeah, I think that's those are good suggestions. And even say, for example, working with the elements, fire, earth, air, and water. And what do they represent with regard to physical functions and mental functions? And then, like you say, now all of a sudden a rainy day has something to do with my physical balance. It has something to do with my feelings and emotions or the past. And maybe a windy day, which might have something to do more with my organizational skills, my ability to rational thinking, my lower mind. And also with flexibility, if that helps at all.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Using the elements, that kind of just takes it one step further, doesn't it? I really like that, to be able to use what's happening right now. Like, a lot of people get so upset because it's raining or it's snowing, but let's look at it on another level. I mean, let's peel it apart like an onion and say, you know, how can I best capture this day? You know, what can I do and think and feel and say to make the most of what's happening right now?
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes all it takes is just to drill down just a little bit deeper. And also, again, when you're accustomed to using your mind, coloring the day, using mental imagery to make things fun, change how you think, change how you feel about things, puts you more in the driver's seat as opposed to, again, being the victim and being controlled by external circumstances, situations.
Oh, I had another little story to tell, but oh man, we're going to have to keep that for another show, I guess. So, listeners, I guess it's about that time we start closing down our program. So I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. And then also available are the online classes you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can just click on the online classes link. From there, you can make your selections. So, Swami, do you have any other pearls of wisdom for us? Any comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to have a really good kickoff on this new year and to be creative and imaginative and to use your mental functions to kind of create the events and circumstances that you're going to bring into your life, as opposed to passively wait for things to happen to you. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And be sure to tune in our program next week. I believe we're going to be celebrating Martin Luther King Day, and we'll do that Kriya Yoga style as we always do. And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.